Welcome to the 9th edition of the CarbonIssues.com podcast. It's Friday, November 30th, 2007.
On the line, I have Keely Whitman from the Environmental Protection Agency. Keely is a communications specialist. I've asked her to join us here to discuss the Green Shield program. And Keely, why don't you maybe give a little background on who you are and how you came to the EPA, first.
Hi, Ted. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you. I joined the EPA in August, so I'm still fairly new, but my job here is to work on our various voluntary partnerships that work with industry to try to reduce the use and emissions of ozone-depleting substances, which are also powerful greenhouse gases. We work under the Montreal Protocol mainly, which is considered the most successful international environmental treaty of all, basically. We here have three main voluntary partnerships. One is the Green Chill Advanced Refrigeration Partnership. The other is called RAD, the Responsible Appliance Disposal Partnership. And also here within the Stratospheric Protection Division where I work, we also have something called the Sunwise Program, which has as its purpose the job of getting the message out that we need to help save the ozone layer, because the ozone layer is directly tied to skin cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, we met at the kickoff for the Green Chill partnership, and one of the things afterwards, I was able to see that the video that was put together about the Montreal Protocol, and that was quite impressive, I have to say. Although I didn't like the pictures of the skin cancer, that kind of grossed me out.
No, it's a very powerful visual, though, isn't it? There an awful lot of people do have direct experience with skin cancer. I guess you can say, fortunately, their experiences with the type of skin cancer that is often treatable. Unfortunately, the often fatal kind of skin cancer is on the rise, and as the ozone layer is depleted, skin cancer in general is on the rise. So I know that global warming is getting most of the press out there right now, but the ozone layer, you know, has been an issue since the 70s, and it continues to be an issue. Although the Montreal Protocol has been very successful, there's a lot of work to do still, and we shouldn't forget about this issue.
I know it's anecdotal, but I have to say I have noticed a difference in thoughts about the ozone and global warming in general. Just from the industry, I think that, you know, there's certainly a lot of skeptics out there, but I think everybody is thinking that, well, it's probably really dumb to, you know, vent R22, for instance, especially now that it has a higher and higher value. But I think the word's getting through, especially as the workforce is getting younger. Certainly younger folks are definitely more green aware, I guess. But as far as the Green Chill program, maybe you could explain, you know, what happened this past Tuesday and what Green Chill is.
Sure. Green Chill, the Green Chill Advanced Refrigeration Partnership is it's a partnership between the EPA and mainly the supermarket industry. But we also have a couple of other members who are other types of stakeholders. For instance, we have two refrigeration equipment manufacturers who are at the forefront of designing equipment that uses less ozone-depleting substances. And we also have currently two refrigerant manufacturers who are players in this partnership in the sense that they are searching for and offering alternatives to ozone-depleting substances to the supermarket industry. And that is basically the purpose of GreenChill is to try to encourage the adoption of any technology, strategy, or practice that reduces emissions of ozone-depleting substances, which are also almost all very, very powerful greenhouse gases. Some of the additional side benefits, which are of importance to our partners, GreenChill, the policies promoted by GreenChill also make good business sense for the supermarket industry. A lot of these advanced refrigeration technologies also reduce shrinkage of frozen food, which is basically a loss to the supermarket industry because a lot of what they sell is sold by weight. So, you know, when you have frozen meat that starts out weighing a pound and through the freezing process, it weighs less, you're losing money there. So anything that helps with that is popular with the supermarket industry. And also a lot of these technologies basically improve the system designs and operations and maintenance, and we think there's potential for improved energy efficiency too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. Well, looking at the list of partners here, from a grocery perspective, we have Food Lion, Giant Eagle, Hannaford Brothers, Harris Teeter. Am I missing anybody here?
Publix and Whole Foods. Yeah.
No,
six supermarket partners.
I was going to say they're on the back page here between the and the other ones are the manufacturers are Hill Phoenix and Kaiser Warren from the manufacturers,
right.
And also Honeywell and DuPont from the refrigerant manufacturers. So those are the initial groups. And I would really encourage any grocers that are listening to this that I think this is a worthwhile program. I think being able to share data on things that work and ways to cut your refrigerant usage is always a good thing. And,
yeah, that's right. The feedback that we get from supermarkets is all of these supermarkets, of course, that are our founding partners, they are at the forefront of various corporate social responsibility initiatives related to the environment. You know, they were the first to recognize that they really need to join GreenChill. And the purpose of the event on Tuesday was to give them the recognition that they deserve for doing the right thing environmentally. They all received founding partner awards. And but we're hoping, of course, to get the word out to other supermarkets. There are an awful lot of them out there that are looking into these types of technologies simply because, on average, the supermarket industry, it's not uncommon to have a refrigerant charge of about, 4,000 pounds of a chemical like R22. And because this chemical is then piped through the entire store through miles and miles of piping, and every joint in these pipes that even has a microscopic opening, that's a potential source of leaking into the atmosphere of these ozone-depleting substances. So we often have leak rates of, 20-25%. So imagine now, if those are averages, so imagine now every supermarket out there leaking 1,000 pounds of R22 on an annual basis. And the supermarket has to pay to fill that back up, so they basically have to replace 1,000 pounds of R22 every year too, which is an expense. And with the start of the phase out in 2010, it's going to get more and more expensive for them.
Absolutely. Well, that's true. And I think sort of taking up the side, I think maybe some of the people who listen to the podcast have negative opinions of what quote-unquote Freon or refrigerants, and kind of to take up the other side of that is that there really are no other chemicals out there that have the properties that allow you to have the cooling and the freezing and the efficiency of these specific refrigerants. So there's certainly a lot of technology behind them, and it's not like you could just snap your fingers and make them go away or replace them. And because basically, when you think about it, our whole economy is based around being able to get food from the farm in the Midwest or anywhere in the world to your plate. And so I think it's a good idea to kind of manage them rather than just, you know, outright banning them, which was really, you really couldn't do.
Yeah, well, you know, that is, I think the EPA has taken the right strategy, not just the EPA, but almost every country in the world is a member of the Montreal Protocol. So, but of course, what I'm most familiar with is what the EPA is doing. Rather than banning the use of R22 by phasing out the use and banning the production and the import of the substance over a period of about, you know, 10 years from 2010 to 2020, what we're basically creating is an economic incentive for companies to try to develop chemicals that achieve the same goal for supermarkets without the ozone depleting effect and without the greenhouse gas effect of R22 and some of the other HCFCs. So, you know, our partners like DuPont and Honeywell, one part of GreenChill that I'm very excited about is that they have agreed to supply us with data on the alternative chemicals that they're working on. They both have chemicals that are not ozone depleting substances, and they're trying them out in various stores, and they'll be supplying us with the data on how well they work. And of course, Hill Phoenix and Kaiser Warren, with their advanced refrigeration technologies, what they do is they reduce the refrigerant charge that you need of R22. So instead of piping R22 throughout the entire store, you're containing that in a very small section of the supermarket, and then you're piping a benign substance like glycol or a brine solution through the rest of the store. So if that leaks, it has no effect on climate change or on the ozone layer. So yeah. There are these economic incentives, and these companies are stepping up to the plate.
Yeah. One of the thoughts on that secondary solution is that you could actually you consider that the part in the back room, the cooling part, as a sort of a packaged chiller. Well, it's a lot easier to manage leaks on something with a lot smaller piping, and exactly. Maybe even put better manufacturing techniques and leak checking techniques right at the factory. So there, yeah, I personally see that as the future of supermarket refrigeration. In at least in medium temp, and from what I understand, some of these options in low temp are actually looking pretty good too. So
yeah.
I think any grocers that are listening to this, I really suggest that you start looking into this, because what's coming down the line, and I know, Keely, you can't really probably comment on this, but with the whole global warming issue and cap and trade and potential taxes based on the carbon potential or global warming potential of refrigerants, you're going to want to do everything you can to minimize your charge and minimize your leaks. You won't be able to afford not to in the future. So that's my opinion. So quick question. I know you're actually a marketing expert, which is kind of cool. And I got to say, one of the things that I found really neat about going down to the kickoff was that it was you broadcast that throughout the EPA itself, but also it was available as a streaming video And it is right now online as either a streaming video or an MP3. And when I watched it yesterday, I was pretty impressed with the quality of the video. I was expecting this grainy sort of thing, but it was really very well done. And what are your comments?
we enlisted the help of a great guy here at the EPA. I have to give him his full props here, Ron Slotkin. He has a pretty impressive array of technology that I didn't even know existed at the EPA, and he came right in and offered it to us, and we took advantage of it. And I was quite surprised that kind of in the back room, they had three cameras going, and there was a woman there who was, directing the different camera shots, and that's certainly as close as I've ever been to a really live professional TV broadcast. It was quite exciting for all of us.
And for all you Carbon Issues fans, if you watch the video at 11:01 in the video, I am talking to my friend Tim. So I'm now an internet star as well. When I saw that, I was like, "Wow, that's so cool!" And they did. They took pictures in the audience and things, and it just makes it more interesting to watch. I'll put a link for that up on my website. And
great.
Any other things that you can think of as far as marketing that you foresee, or I know that you were kicking off a website for Green Chill, for instance.
Yeah, we have. We have our website is up and running, and it's at epa.gov/ozone/partnerships/greenchill/index.html. That's quite a mouthful, but we're going to have pictures of the event up there under the Green Chill launch link. And there's going to be one. I just did the captions for them, so I picked out a picture of Ted. You get to see the back of his head in the forefront of one of the pictures that we're going to put on the website. So, just pictures of the Green Chill team and the people from the various partners who were there, and Bob Myers, who's the top guy here for us in the Office of Air and Radiation. We're very, very excited about the Green Chill program. And we've received wonderful feedback not just within the supermarket industry, but within a broad range of industries. So that's very encouraging, and it gives us the motivation to continue doing what we're doing.
Well, thank you very much, Keely, and hopefully we can have you on in the future as more things roll out.
I'd love to. That's great. Thank you for the opportunity. It was my pleasure.
Okay, take care.